really didn't address anything on the holiday last Sunday, but I'd like to talk about something related to probably Thanksgiving today. I'd like to begin in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and the first verse, and I'd like to read about five verses here, I believe. We all know that Timothy is a man that was considerably younger than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul kind of looked on him as a son in the Lord. He had a lot of encouraging words and a lot of things to share with him to try to equip him for his life of ministry. It sounds, from history, it sounds like Timothy was faithful in that, and he followed through and carried on with the gospel that Paul preached. So beginning in verse 1, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." I know there's been a lot of last days type messages that have been preached down through the years. There's been a lot of burden expressed about us being prepared for the end of our individual lives and ultimately the judgment day and the end of mortal life as we would know it today. And Paul tells Timothy here, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come," or hazardous times, times when things are not as conducive to spirituality. It's not as conducive to have a place of victory in our lives. And the second verse says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And it seems like every generation from the time of the Apostle Paul until now has noticed some new development where people have been more lovers of themselves. And that's no different for us today. I believe that the age we live in, people are more self-loving today than they were in the past generations, in past decades, in past centuries. And he says here, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Now, when we read the word unthankful here, it's kind of like, why is that thrown in the midst of all of those heavyweight transgressions? To be unthankful. So let's read on a little more. He says, "Without natural affection," that's very true in our world today, "truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," that means lacking self-restraint. People don't have much inhibitions or self-restraint anymore. "Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So there are many very undesirable characteristics that are manifested in people's lives today that Paul's admonition here is that even if they have these, if they're claiming to be something on the form of a Christian, and they have these other things, they're actually denying the power of the gospel, and he says, "From such, turn away." As a young boy growing up, my parents trained me, they taught me, they told me enough that I believed it, that if I hung out with the wrong crowd, that I would end up suffering the same consequences as the wrong crowd suffered. And if I was closely associated with other young men that got into trouble, whether it was with something just plain mischief, or if it was something that was violating the laws or damaging property or whatever it was, that if I was very closely associated with them, then I would suffer consequences with that. And my parents always told me that if you go to jail, we will not bail you out. They told me that over and over again. And by the time I became a teenager, I believed them. So I made sure I didn't go to jail. So there are many things here that the Apostle Paul says, these are signs that we're living in the last days. When you start seeing these things becoming more and more prevalent, and there's a lot of these things that we read through here, it's like if there ever was a time that there are people without natural affections, today's the day. If there ever was a time that people were high-minded and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, it's today. If there's people that are blasphemers and disobedient to parents and all of those kind of, those are heavyweight character flaws, are they not? And we don't want those. He says, from these type of things, turn away. But right in the midst of all of that, he says, unthankful. Over in Revelation, maybe I'll read that. I hadn't really planned to, but let's go over to the book of Revelation for just a minute. And I believe that in the 21st chapter and the 8th verse, he says, maybe 7th verse, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I don't know about you, but abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, that all sounds like real grievous transgressions. But right in the midst of that, he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving is all grouped in with that. So I just want us to recognize that there are some times that if we're not careful, we will just kind of gloss over something that's really important because we don't look at it as being a very major transgression. But in Revelations and here in Timothy, where Paul and the Apostle John were both writing, they group a couple things here with grievous things that, have you ever been a little fearful? Sure. But to be genuinely fearful and unbelieving to keep us from stepping out in our experience with God and really getting a hold of something, he classifies that with some very grievous transgressions. And here, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul puts unthankfulness in with all of these proud, blaspheming people without natural affections, all of those things that we say, oh, that's bad. That's real bad. But he puts unthankful in there, and he doesn't rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. They're just all in the same box. To be unthankful is something that the enemy would like for us to just gloss over and consider it as like a misdemeanor. Y'all know what a misdemeanor is? It's something that you might get a fine for, and you might have a little bit of consequence, but it's not like a felony. If you commit a felony in our judicial system and you're prosecuted for that, there's lingering consequence. Even if you pay the do the whatever retribution is required. If you pay up, spend your time, serve your time, whatever, there's something that follows after you for the rest of your life. And many times we look on things like fearful and unbelieving and unthankfulness as just being, it's just a minor infraction. But is it? How important is it for us to be thankful? The advice in the scripture here is to turn away from it. Don't allow it to be a defining component to your character. I believe that the more entitled our culture becomes, the more prevalent unthankfulness will be. The more people feel like something they deserve it coming their way, the more unthankful they'll be. You know, we can't legislate righteousness. Our government, because of pressure from good-meaning citizens, has tried to legislate things that would be wholesome behavior, making things like alcohol illegal to produce or to distribute and all of that. Wasn't a whole lot successful, but probably because they were dealing with adults instead of children. But you never notice a small child, and maybe the parent will tell them, you got to say please. And then when they give them whatever they're asking for, they say, now say thank you. Do you know why they do that? It's because they want to children to learn that so that when they get old enough, they'll know what they're supposed to say. They're trained. They legislate that. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So we want to shape the character of the children. We want our, when we come to God as a newborn child, a new creature, a new man, we have to consciously make an effort to cultivate the things that God wants us to cultivate. And one of these things is being thankful. So just like a parent would teach a child, you got to say please, and when you get what you're asking for, you have to say thank you. You can't just mumble something. You have to start saying it distinctly. Parents start on that when children just barely can learn to speak. They can just say a few words, and that's some of those words they want them to learn early on. What would our world be like today if more adults said please and thank you? What would it be like? Don't you think it'd be a lot better when we come into the places where we buy merchandise of any kind, and if everybody was, said please more often and thank you more often and was gracious about the transaction and all of that? What happens a lot of times at the checkout counter? Somebody's disgruntled about something, and even if they get their differences worked out, they don't say thank you a lot of times. It's maybe they huff or puff a little bit, and out the door they go, and nobody said thank you. What would it be like if we said thank you more often? You know, if we don't cultivate the atmospheres where please and thank you is, we have opportunities for that, we're going to lose more of it. And you know, our culture is such today, and the pandemic is making it accelerate more so to doing things by ourselves on our own time, in our own space, and we're not interacting with people as much because we don't want to catch it if they got it. And I understand that. But you know, every time we diminish an opportunity to work with someone, you might even just work with somebody virtually, via the internet somehow. But there's opportunities for us to say please and thank you. It's something that we have to cultivate. Because our world is such that it promotes an independent spirit, unthankfulness, I believe, is on a accelerated increase in our society. So let's go now to Colossians, the third chapter, and notice what the Apostle Paul said to the church here. And notice how he addresses this, Colossians, the third chapter in the 15th verse. He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." It's like he gives them a command. Over there in 2 Timothy, he grouped unthankfulness with some grievous transgressions. And here he's talking to a specific group of people, not just a individual. But he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Don't just glaze over that, but I would like for us to consider it as an order, as a command. Do you know why he has to say that? It's because the depraved mind, the heart that has been away from God, for us to come back to, this is something that we just gravitate to, is being unthankful. We don't naturally just in our humanity become more thankful. It's something we have to cultivate. When we legislate to our children that they've got to say please and thank you, they perform under duress. But our objective as adults is to develop that thankfulness in our hearts, in that attitude and a willingness to say please and to say thank you from the heart. So one of the reasons that we make opportunity for testimony is to help each one of us cultivate a thankful, grateful attitude and disposition. So when we come together on our Wednesday night services specifically, but anytime when we come together, you know, it's important for us to practice, just like we make our children practice. Now, what are you supposed to say? You're supposed to say please. And now what are you, you're supposed to say? Your sibling shared their whatever it is, their place at the table or their toys or whatever, they shared with you. Now you're supposed to say thank you. Grandpa or grandma gave you a piece of candy or a cookie or whatever. You're supposed to say thank you. We cultivate, we drill that into them. So when we come to service, let's practice. What do we got to say thank you about? I think if we think about it, we got more than what. You know, I wasn't here when Brother Hill was here. I was here at service once or twice when Brother Hill was alive. But I've heard that he said things like there shouldn't be any excuse for us not to have 100% on our testimonies on Wednesday night. Everybody ought to have a testimony. Well, you know, all of us have a different manner of operation, right? And it's not been my manner of operation to say, okay, all of you but two have testified that we're waiting. I don't do that. But you know, there's an opportunity for us to share some thanksgiving. And I want to challenge us. I don't want to slip into that undesirable characteristic that Paul told Timothy, this kind of thing, you turn away from it. Don't allow that thing to be a defining component of your character, unthankful. That's in the same group as without natural affection. Well, somebody says without natural affection, I immediately say that's bad. I don't want anything to do with that. Don't even let that come close to my life. To be unthankful? Well, yeah, I'll probably forget that sometimes. We kind of start easing up on ourselves there. But I would like to challenge us today, we're going to have to cultivate that, or we're going to be defined as an unthankful group of people. What has the Lord done for us? Hasn't He paid the price so we could be redeemed? He did that. Well, if nothing else, we got that to be thankful for. But I venture that we have a lot of other things that we can say thank you for. It's not, well, I just want to encourage you to accept the challenge that the Apostle Paul gave to the church there at Colossae when he said, be ye thankful. I'd like for that to be stamped in our mind to where we go away. I want it to be from the heart, but I also want us to realize we have a responsibility. You know, I want us to recognize that for us to truly display the attributes that God would have, we're going to have to cultivate a thankful attitude and a thankful heart. It's not sacrilegious to discipline yourself to give a testimony of thanksgiving on Wednesday night. You understand what I'm saying? You're not being a hypocrite by thinking about, you know, if I came here Sunday morning and I said, well, I really don't know what we're going to talk about today, but I'll stand up here and maybe something will pop in my head. Y'all would say, listen, that Brother Danny, you need to be a little bit more responsible, wouldn't you? If you didn't say it, you'd think it. So I'm going to tell you what I think. I think we all ought to be planning ahead. You know, Wednesday comes every week. And we ought to plan ahead. What can I be thankful for? What could I share? Maybe if it's not Wednesday night, maybe it could be during one of our other services. It could be Sunday morning. It could be Sunday evening. But, you know, we have to cultivate it. If we don't cultivate it, we're going to slip into unthankfulness. Well, about time God answered my prayer. Really? That is with all those other ugly looking things. It's in the same boat. It's in the same box. It's in the same category. Paul told Timothy, turn away from those kind of things. Don't let that be a defining characteristic of who you are. He was given a young man advice on how to conduct himself in the ministry and how to be a blessing to people. So, I'll tell you what I think. I think we ought to plan ahead. I think we ought to have some desire to share our thanksgiving. It takes discipline to build character. Do you believe that? I believe it takes discipline. I believe it takes a conscious effort. We're going to change our character from something that was displeasing to the Lord. I believe He comes in and gives us a new heart. But if we don't cultivate the things that causes that new heart to grow and to prosper, we'll fall back in to all of those other things. If we, you know, some trees and some plants, if you cut them off, they just die. Have you ever noticed that if you have, if you plant something in the garden like tomatoes and corn and maybe even green beans and stuff like that, that if you get a little close with your hoe and you cut one of the, just nick one of them, the thing will fall over and die. But you just let some, you just let a cucklebur come up in your garden. And you can right now cut the thing off and it's like, nothing ever happened to me. It just keeps on growing. And you can cut those things and they just keep coming up. Grass, all you got to get is a little sprinkle of rain and it looks like it needs a shave out there. Grass just comes up. You know, we are, if we're not cultivating the right things to increase our character towards godliness, and what the thing I'm harping on today is being thankful, and if we don't cultivate that, you know what'll grow up? Unthankfulness. It's pokey, and it's, I'll tell you, there's weeds that grow up in your garden that if you eat the seeds, it'll make you crazy. It'll do weird stuff to you. If you eat that plant, if you rub it on you, it'll hurt you, you know. And if you allow unthankfulness to prosper in any, if you don't keep it cut off at the root, if you don't keep it chopped out, it'll grow and it'll be a defining characteristic. And you'll think, not only people, but you'll begin to think that God owes you something. Being unthankful is a natural thing for a depraved nature. That's what we'll fall back to, is being unthankful. Let's go to Psalms 100, and beginning in verse 1. In Psalms 100, beginning verse 1, he says here, I'll read the whole psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So why would we come into his gates with thanksgiving? It's he that's madeth and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We, the very essence of life is something to be thankful for. I try to thank the Lord every day for my health and my strength. I'm grateful that I'm able to get up and go about my daily duties. It's wonderful to be able to get up in the morning and to breathe without it hurting, and to be able to stand up, and to be able to see, and to be able to hear, and to be able to navigate through my day. That's a wonderful blessing, and I can be thankful for that every day. And we can cultivate that. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Even before the sun comes up, when you wake up this time of year and the sun's not up, and you know you got to get around for your day, you can say, thank you, Lord, for a new day. You give us a new day. You give me some rest during the night. I don't sleep like I used to 20 years ago, but I still get rest, and I'm thankful for that. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Give unto his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, if his mercy was not extended toward us, things would be a lot different. It wouldn't be so pleasant. If he didn't hold this universe together, you know, scientists have tried to figure it out for years of what causes gravity and what causes planets to stay in orbit and all of that. They've got a lot of good theories, and maybe they've got some explanations that work, but you know, there's some places they just don't have, they have to say, I don't know yet. We don't know exactly how it works. We don't know exactly what makes our bodies function the way they do, and how our bodies can actually heal and be restored. The medical field many times will acknowledge that we can do the best we can, but we can't make things heal. They'll tell you that today. If it wasn't for God keeping things all together. I just think about what happens on mechanical things when something just a little bit gets out of the realm of where it ought to operate. This week, just yesterday, no, not yesterday, day before, something, a small part broke, and it made a train wreck in there. You know, if there's a small component, can you imagine if, oh, let's say, the moon, it's pretty small, isn't it? Our moon. If the moon, all of a sudden, whatever strings hold it in place, I don't know what they are, but whatever strings hold the moon in place, what if it just turned loose and come crashing in and landed in, I don't know, Kansas City? What would happen? Put a big dent in there. I guarantee you'd put a big dent up there. Would it knock the earth out of orbit? And then it'd go crashing into something else? You know, if the Lord didn't hold it in place, we'd be, you know, we got something to be thankful for. But if you don't think of it that way, and you don't cultivate that, I don't know, another day, another dollar, deeper in debt. Here I go to work. You know, if you just begin to think about all these negative, it's about time somebody bailed me out. About time they gave me a raise. About time I got a day off. All of these kind of things. Instead, if we'll cultivate being thankful, think how much smoother. Which one would you rather? Well, I told y'all about the fine. You remember that guy? I knew this man, bless his heart. He came into the shop where I worked many years ago, and he said fine after anything you said. He was a very pleasant man. He had faced it. I knew more about him after I moved away almost than I did when I lived there in Veneta. But he was an older man, and he'd come in, and it didn't matter what you told him, he just said fine. And he got into such a habit of saying fine that you could say, well, Gene, your car is broke in half, and it's going to cost thousands of dollars to fix it. And he would look at you and kind of smile and say, fine. And he wasn't crazy, all right? He had cultivated this attitude of everything was fine. And you know, it's been a challenge to me. There's many times I want to say, well, everything ain't so good. You know, it's just not going very well right now. But if I would cultivate being thankful, you think how much, you know, everybody wanted to deal with Gene Veith. That was his name. Everybody wanted to deal with him. Everybody was willing to do extra things for Gene because he always said fine. And if you told him, well, Gene, we're going to have to charge you for this repair. Well, that's fine. Fine. I'm happy it's fixed. Fine. He just said that so much. What about us if you said thank you so much that somebody got tired of it? Don't you think it'd be a better place? I don't want us to become a broken record, but I want us to cultivate. I think it's, Paul said, be ye thankful. And initially, you want to say, well, I don't know if I got anything to be thankful for, but I think you do. I don't know what you're facing, but I think you got something to be thankful for. You just think about the moon crashing into us. You just think about having fresh air to breathe today. You just think about the things that God has allowed to come our way. We got something to be thankful for. Then Psalmist here was instructing us in the Old Testament, very similar to what Apostle Paul said to Timothy and to the church at Colossae. If the writers in the Old Testament and the New Testament were reminding those and teaching those around them that they had to be thankful, is it no wonder that we have to apply ourselves today? We have to apply ourselves. Did you know that the magnanimity of God will never cause us to just naturally be thankful unless we cultivate it? God can do everything possible for us. Just like we talked about the other Sunday about the vineyard. He could do everything conceivable to get good grapes. And we can give him unthankfulness. We can look on it with disdain. It's just never quite good enough. You know, I'm old enough to look back in life and could say, you know, there's some things I would have liked to have that was a little different than how it turned out. There's some disappointments that I would have avoided. There's some blessings that I would have liked to had. But for me to be grumpy towards God, I don't have a leg to stand on. He has done so much for me. I want to be more thankful. I want to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, if you'll let me use that phrase. I'd like to end this morning in the book of Daniel, in the first chapter. Turn with us there. I want to look at one verse. We know the situation that Daniel was facing. He was taken from his homeland, he and his friends, three of his friends specifically, but there were others that he was acquainted with, but he and three friends stand out in this book of the Bible. And they were taken down there not because they wanted to go to Babylon, but because they were put through a rigorous declassification, and they were turned into something that it would never have happened to them if their nation had not fallen into captivity. They would have never become eunuchs in their homeland. All right? And here they are, facing a future that looked like perpetual hardship. And notice what Daniel said or did in the 8th verse. He says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." So here's what I want to get out of this verse. We know the end of the story, don't we, about Daniel? We know how he ended up. We know how God blessed him. We know how God gave him many insights. He wrote some of the words that project all the way down past where we live into eternity. He wrote some incredible prophetic things. He stepped into places of leadership and then was able to turn it back over. He lived to see his people be able to go back to their homeland. He was blessed with a long life. He was blessed with honor and all of that. Why? Because he purposed in his heart to not defile himself. You know, I don't know what the future holds, but I believe this. If we allow unthankfulness to taint our character. We're going to be like the ones that we don't know their names that went with Daniel. But if we will purpose in our hearts and minds, with God's help, I'm going to cultivate being thankful. You know, I believe the God of heaven has a rich ending for our lives. Yes, there's a lot of things that going on around us today that I think is atrocious. There's a lot of things going on around us that worry me, that bother me. But I believe that if I will purpose in my heart, by God's grace, I'm going to cultivate being thankful. From now on, I'm going to follow the command. I'm going to make it an attitude of my heart to be thankful, to be appreciative of the blessings of the Lord. You know, I believe that we can have an end like Daniel, where others look on and say, that was a man of God. God used him. God blessed him. He faced some incredible hardships, some incredibly difficult places. None of us has been to the lion's den. None of us has been resisted the things that he did yet. But God will be there for us. May the Lord help us to cultivate that characteristic of being thankful. You pray for me.